Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning. I'm Kim St. Ange in for Mark while he's spending some time in Italy. He'll be back in about a week and a half. Hopefully your morning's off to a great start. We're glad you're here, however you're listening to us, whether it be on the radio, on the Odyssey app, we're live on Facebook, on X, all the things. Scott Jagow here filling in for me.
Good morning.
Good morning. Carl Middleman here, of course. I didn't know if you were going to... Okay, I was waiting. I was waiting for him to say rabbit. He has to make sure he says that on the first of the month.
I actually went down a little rabbit hole on this rabbit thing. I learned that there are different ways to do it. Some people do it three times.
Rabbit.
Yeah. Some people say hair.
I say nothing because I think it's stupid. Sorry, Carl, but not that sorry.
I don't care.
To all those who celebrate, rabbit. All right, Sue Thomas, she has been keeping her eyes on any sort of road issues. Since you went to bed, a lot has happened. Oh, my gosh. There is unrest happening at college campuses where police are now in riot gear. More arrests have been made. There's been violence. It has gotten absolutely out of control at some of these college campuses, UCLA specifically, Columbia University, where police finally moved into Hamilton Hall. You have the Biden administration that comes out yesterday and says they're going to reclassify marijuana as a less dangerous drug. Since 1971, it's been classified as Schedule 1, which would put it in the same category as heroin and LSD. They're saying this would move it to a Schedule 3, which would include ketamine and some anabolic steroids. They're saying that's because it's been accepted as having medical use and that there's a low likelihood of it being abused. It's because it's less addictive. As far as the timeline of when this is going to happen, that I'm still waiting to see. But, I mean, this really is a landmark decision. This is something that Biden back in 2022 came out and said he wanted to do. He specifically called for a review of the federal marijuana laws. And here we are, just shy of 2 years later, and this is what's happening. So we're following a lot of stories coming up this hour. We have Genevieve Wood with the Heritage Foundation. We have Missouri Senator Bill Eigel and candidate for governor talking about IP reform. But before we get to all of that, let's get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
You know, we will continue to extend our hand to Mike Johnson in bipartisanship and hope that they will continue to learn a lesson.
You'd think that's a Republican, but no, that is Democratic Congresswoman Catherine Clark saying that the Democrats are going to be the ones to have Mike Johnson's back if Marjorie Taylor Greene tries to oust him as Speaker.
You say advice of counsel. He said you're not allowed to say that. And so you'll all figure it out. But I think the public has figured it out because the poll numbers are the highest they've ever been.
That was Donald Trump yesterday speaking before he walked into court and before the judge fined him $9,000 for violating a gag order. Today, he's using his one-day break from trial to campaign in Wisconsin and Michigan.
Branding Israel's leaders and soldiers as war criminals will pour jet fuel on the fires of anti-Semitism, fires that are already raging on the campuses of America and across capitals around the world.
You know that voice. That's Benjamin Netanyahu talking about how the International Criminal Court is considering indicting him and other Israeli officials over the war in Gaza.
I think our expectation should be that there is not police presence and instead the university chooses to engage in productive dialogue with their students.
Oh, that's Aldermanic President Megan Green. She's talking about the pro-Palestine protests planned on SLU's campus this evening at 6 o'clock, and she thinks that police should have no involvement and instead that the university officials should have a productive dialogue, as she said. That's how she's phrasing it, a productive dialogue with these students and listen to their demands, I guess.
I mean, I don't think that's a bad idea, but I'm reading about what's happening on the UCLA campus this morning, and it is horrific. Vice Chancellor at UCLA said, "We are sickened by this senseless violence, and it must end. People are using barricades as weapons because there are pro-Palestinian and pro-Israeli protesters meeting at the same point. They skirmished for roughly 3 hours overnight.
Using fireworks, throwing fireworks, and there was pepper spray, and they're beating each other with sticks. Is this America?"
Well, yeah, definitely is. I mean,
oh my gosh.
It's not like this hasn't happened before.
No, it absolutely has happened, but it's wild to see it unfolding again. Gosh, it feels like we're moving closer and closer to a civil war. Like, I'm serious. Like, that's how it feels. Like, there's just so much hatred from both sides. And the protesters are saying, you know, we have no plans to stop even when the semester ends. That was what a WashU protester said after they protested over the weekend. I have to play this clip for you that we played earlier this morning. It is probably, if I had to pick like a soundbite of the day, this is it, hands down. This is a Columbia University student, an Ivy League student, who feels like the school should bring in humanitarian aid for protesters.
First of all, we're saying that they're obligated to provide food to students who pay for a meal plan here.
But you mentioned that there was a request that food and water be brought in, unless I misunderstood.
To allow it to be brought in. I mean, well, I guess it's ultimately a question of what kind of community and obligation Columbia feels it has to its students. Do you want students to die of dehydration and starvation or get severely ill, even if they disagree with you? If the answer is no, then you should allow basic, I mean, it's crazy to say because we're on an Ivy League campus, but this is like basic humanitarian aid we're asking for. Like, could people please have a glass of water?
But they did put themselves in that very deliberately, in that situation and in that position. So it seems like you're sort of saying, we want to be revolutionaries, we want to take up this building. Now, would you please bring us food and water?
Nobody's asking them to bring anything. We're asking them to not violently stop us from bringing in basic humanitarian aid.
They're stopping the delivery of food?
We are looking for a commitment from them that they will not stop it violently.
But they haven't stopped it yet.
I don't know to what extent it has been attempted, but we're looking for a commitment.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't even know.
That is garbage.
In her defense, you know, I wonder if like the Starbucks was closed. The one, you know, on the Ivy League campus.
Yeah, the convenience store across the street as well.
Yeah.
Probably not closed. It's open 24 hours. You're on there. You're doing this voluntarily. That guy asked a great question.
Yeah.
And then the follow-up question was, are they trying to stop you? Well, no, we just want a commitment. She couldn't answer it because
they're not.
She's spewing nonsense.
And also, you should not expect people to be bringing in food and water for you if you're screaming things like death to Israel, death to America. I would not want to walk in the midst of that crowd. Now, she then changed her story and was like, oh, well, we're not expecting them to bring us in food, but we should be able to bring things in. Like, I'm sorry. Seriously, is she in some war-torn area? Is she on the Oregon Trail and her ox died? Seriously, that's what it reminds me of, because that is what you're dealing with on these college campuses, these outlandish requests, demands from these students that make absolutely no sense. And when you question them on them, they're like, I don't know. They don't even know why they're there.
They're there just to protest. And you know, the violence aspect of this is very scary when you consider the history of the Vietnam War protests and Kent State and all that. I don't want to go there.
Yeah. Let's hope that St. Louis does not get violent tonight. Please, 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 let's not get violent. Coming up after the break, we have Genevieve Wood from the Heritage Foundation talking about a push from a congressman to tighten up regulations when it comes to IVF. I'm Kim Sainange in for Mark.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Do you have a reaction to the Alabama Supreme Court ruling on the fact that embryos are children?
Yeah, I was all for it. We need to have more kids. We need to have an opportunity to do that. And this, I thought this was the right thing to do. But
IVF is used to have more children. And right now, IVF services are paused at some of the clinics in Alabama. Aren't you concerned that this could impact people who are trying to have kids?
Well, that's for another conversation. People need to have that. We need more kids. We need the people to have the opportunity to have kids.
The stars at night are big and bright. Deep in the heart of Texas.
Genevieve Woods, senior advisor at the Heritage Foundation, joining us now. Genevieve, that was a clip with Tommy Tuberville talking about that Alabama Supreme Court decision back in February, where they said that embryos are considered children. And as you heard, you know, a lot of these clinics were pausing IVF, and that caused an uproar. Now you have a congressman from Oklahoma who's calling on the CDC to provide more transparency for in vitro practices. What all does that involve?
Well, I think he's trying to bring clarity to the debate. I mean, if we're going to have a debate over IVF, I think the American public should have all the background and information it can have on the processes. And I think many people might be surprised to know, I was surprised to know, that we don't require IVF clinics to provide really like what's going on inside. How many embryos do we create? How many embryos do we keep frozen and in storage? How many embryos have we destroyed in the past year? How many embryos were destroyed because of sex selection or because they had a certain eye color versus another eye color? I mean, people might be surprised to know that's happening in our IVF clinics, and that's very different than what you see in most of, for example, Europe, where they have a lot more restrictions. They don't say you can't do IVF, and I don't think that's what many people here are saying, but they're saying if we're going to do it, let's know what we're doing, and if we want to put some regulations on it, the American people need to know what's happening to make informed decisions.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would not realize that eugenics is going on. Like you said, picking certain traits, so a height or an eye color or a hair color that they want for their child, and then they're trying to manipulate things to make that happen. And then that could end up in a lot of these embryos being destroyed. And like you're saying, there's no accountability for that. There's no requirement that they have to report any of that information.
That's right. And look, I find it amazing in a society like ours today, where like, you know, we've got ageism and racism, you know, all these different things that you get accused of if you pick on somebody. And yet we're allowing those very things, like this baby's not going to be tall enough one day. Oh, this is going to be a girl instead of a boy. Oh, they're going to have brown eyes instead of blue eyes. And that's, we're allowing people to pick their children based on that. And some of these are ending up in experimental stages as well. They're using these embryos in experiments. Much of the public does not know that's going on. And all that I think what this particular congressman is calling on here is saying, we need to know the information. IVF clinics ought to have to provide the statistics of what's happening inside. As I said, how many embryos we create, how many we produce. I mean, a lot of times, many people who are not opposed to IVF are opposed to creating 10 embryos to get the one perfect one. Then what's happened with the other nine?
Yep.
They're just, sometimes they're just left in frozen storage for years. We don't even know what happens to them. And those are individual human beings. Everything that makes them who they are when they're 25 is there the day that they're created and fertilized.
Right.
And so you've got these embryos in storage, and they're just like little humans in these, you know, frozen clinics. I don't think most people understand that.
I agree. I totally agree. I think what's also interesting to note, and correct me if I'm wrong, this Alabama Supreme Court ruling from February, it's not like it said that you can't do IVF. They're saying that embryos are children, so the destruction of any would be the destruction of life. So it seems like
That's
it was
right.
more like an out of liability, fear of liability, that these clinics decided to pause because they know that that's exactly what they're doing. They're destroying a lot of these embryos.
I think you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly what happened. Basically saying you can't create these lives and then just destroy them. That's like it violated Alabama law. We protect children in this state, and we believe that these are babies. These are children just at a different stage of life. And so you can't just destroy them.
Yep.
And so, but you're right. I mean, that's what happens in many places. It's rare that you create just enough embryos that end up being implanted. In almost every case, they produce more than they end up using. And what happens with those extra embryos, those extra children, nobody knows.
Yep, I couldn't agree more. I wanted to get your thoughts, Genevieve, on what's unfolding on our college campuses across the country. I know you've seen the videos of what unfolded UCLA's campus overnight, Columbia University. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I mean, I think this is something that's been festering for years. You know, for years, many conservatives have been talking about the kind of education, quote unquote, that's being given to kids on college campuses and in their high schools. And, you know, you feed the beast long enough, the beast all of a sudden gets angry and rises up. And so, I mean, there's been here we're seeing anti-Semitism. This has been festering on these campuses for years with professors, you know, indoctrinating students. And now you're seeing it come, you know, the chickens come home to roost, so to speak. It's awful. It ought to be put, you know, the fact that it's allowed to go on tells you how deep the rot is. The fact that you have administrators and university presidents who cannot tell these students, stop what you're doing, or else you're going to be suspended. You're going to be expelled. You spent all this money here for college. You're not going to get your degree if you continue to violate our rules. But they don't have the guts to do it.
Yep.
They simply don't have the guts to do it. And I think it's not just the guts. They don't have the will because they don't really believe. They may be a little bit anti-Semitic themselves. They've bought into the big lie. And so they don't have the will to tell these students to do the right thing.
I agree. And it makes me sad that the Biden administration has more or less been silent. I mean, they came out and said, oh, you know, we support free expression, whatever the case may be that everyone yells. But they're really not saying much. They should, to me, he should have a much stronger response to shut all of this down.
I mean, he's trying to have it both ways, right? He wants to keep the what has historically been the Jewish vote predominantly has been Democrat. He's wanting to kind of keep that, but then he doesn't want to tick off the pro-Palestinian Gaza folks. So he's trying not to do what they don't want. I don't think he's really satisfying anybody. But again, that shows you where is the moral will to do the right thing. I mean, when people, you know, go, how did Nazi Germany ever happen? Take a look what's happening, not just what's happening on our campuses, but what's being allowed to happen on our campuses. And that we have government officials and supposedly public leaders who don't have the moral authority or will to go in and stop it. That's how these things happen.
Absolutely. I'm worried we're headed down that path. So something more needs to be done. Genevieve Wood with the Heritage Foundation. Always good to chat with you.
Great to be with you.
All right, after the break, we're talking to Missouri Senator Bill Igel. He's going to chat with us, update us on IP reform. We know the House passed it recently. Now it's up to the Senate to see if they can pass it as our deadline ticks down for them to collect votes to get abortion on the ballot in Missouri to enshrine it into our state constitution. We'll be right back.
After the end of a good fight, You deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time? Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Kim Sainan, Jim for Mark. This is the last week abortion supporters are collecting signatures trying to get the issue on the ballot in November. And this comes as the Missouri Senate could vote to pass IP reform. And so I asked Missouri Senator and candidate for Governor Bill Eigel to join us to give us an update to see if that could happen sometime this week. So good morning to you, Senator. There we go. Senator, can you hear me?
Hey, good morning, Kim. Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thanks for giving us some time. So I know some things were happening with filibustering overnight. Is there any sort of an update on IP reform? Could that be passed this week?
Well, I tell you, first of all, that's what we're hoping. I mean, right now there's a filibuster by the Freedom Caucus in the Missouri Senate. And what we're doing is we've basically drawn a line in the sand saying we're not ready to move on to other business at this point until we take that one final vote to get IP reform over the finish line and in front of the voters. And, you know, I'm very disappointed right now because both our floor leader, Senator Cindy O'Loughlin, and the sponsor of the IP reform bill, Senator Mary Elizabeth Coleman, could make a motion right now. They could interrupt this interview right now and make a motion to bring that bill up for its final vote, and we could get this done before lunchtime today. But they haven't done that. They even with just 13 days left, 13 session days to go in the legislative session, they're refusing to do that in favor of trying to push forward a renewal on one of Missouri's biggest health care provider taxes. I mean, imagine that the reason we may not get IP reform done is because our leadership wants to talk about renewing health care taxes and federal government subsidies instead. So the Freedom Caucus is out there holding the line, filibustering until we bring up that IP bill reform or IP reform bill and get that done. And if we do, that would be the type of big red policy win that we've been envisioning for this state for a long time. We've talked about it, getting this done for 6 years. We have an opportunity to do it. If your listeners are out there, have an inclination to get involved, they ought to call Mary Elizabeth Coleman. They ought to call Cindy O'Loughlin and tell them both, bring up the IP reform bill right now. Let's get this done.
I saw you calling out Governor Parson on X, just upset with how he's handled a lot of these conservative issues. He's supposed to be a conservative governor and in a lot of ways hasn't really acted like it.
Yeah, I mean, you're right when you say that I'm upset of how he's acted or what he's done, because what he's done has been nothing. I mean, we have been fighting this IP reform battle for years now. I mean, Governor Parson could have called us into a special session last fall, last summer, and we would have gotten this done. We wouldn't have had to talk about this right now, but he did nothing. We've been calling on Governor Parson all session to get behind the initiative petition reform process. He's doing nothing. He's really, Governor Parson is really setting up his final legacy to be that of a Republican governor that, when needed the most, when these issues were rising to the surface of the Missouri Senate or the Missouri House, he did nothing. He has been absent on this issue. You know, the fact that we have a governor that's willing to be absent on issues like this is precisely why other big red states with other bold conservative governors are leaving Missouri behind. So I'll renew my call again on this radio show that we need Governor Parson to be engaged. If Governor Parson would be willing to put in a phone call to Senator O'Loughlin or Senator Coleman, that might help the process. Unfortunately, the only time when we called on Governor Parson yesterday, which was just sign the bill that we had passed a few weeks ago that would actually defund Planned Parenthood, he actually responded to us through Twitter and was proud of the fact that he wasn't going to do anything to help us out. So we're not getting any help from the top of the government here in Jefferson City. I know there's a lot of people frustrated, but we're going to keep the pressure on.
I mentioned, of course, that you're running for governor, and there was a new statewide poll that came out with Ashcroft at 36%, Kehoe at 11%, and then you're at 3%. How do you build momentum? We're in the home stretch here, last few months before the election. How do you build momentum?
Well, so one, we've already got momentum. And by the way, that poll that you just mentioned, I'm going to make the case that that is a bogus pollster at a bogus poll. This is the same pollster that a year ago was telling folks that Donald J. Trump was not going to win the Republican nomination. So I have a lot of concerns about the accuracy of the polls coming from this particular pollster. In fact, when you rank out the accuracy of polls taken by pollsters all over the country, this particular pollster, the Tyson Group that took this poll, ranks number 226 out of 240 pollsters across the nation. So, but really, Kim, we've seen this message come from my opponents for a year and a half now. They know they can't beat me on policy. They know I'm resonating with grassroots. They know that for the third of Republicans that are already paying attention, already know all three candidates, that I'm actually beating Ashcroft by 10 points, that I'm beating Mike Kehoe 2-1. So we already have momentum. The only message that are coming from my opponent to the people that dislike me, and by the way, the poll that you referenced was also put out to try to apply pressure to guys like myself to pass a bill in the Missouri Senate that's going to exempt big corporations like Bayer from liability from when their chemical products cause cancer. So there's a motivation going on here that I'm not too worried about that poll. I know that we are beating our opponents handily amongst the Republicans that are paying attention. So we already have the momentum. And by the way, the reason that we have that momentum is that, unlike the other two candidates, we have a message and a vision of Missouri that folks are buying into. They want that bold conservative leader that's going to be taking on the big issues, whether it's IP reform, whether it's getting the budget under control, that's going to really lead Missouri to be a leader in these United States. These folks that whose only a message against me is that they're trying to convince people that I can't win. Listen, that's what they did. They were saying that Donald Trump couldn't win the presidency back in 2016 and 2020. They were saying that all sorts of folks, you know, I remember back in 2016, Eric Greitens wasn't supposed to win this nomination. He was actually polling less than 3% at this point. So we feel very confident. Our polling shows us in second place in this race right now with the gap between myself and Jay Ashcroft lower than it's ever been before. So we're very confident. I'm not deterred at all by these polls that are really outlandish.
And last thing quickly, we have about a minute or so left. I wanted to get your reaction to this whole situation going on with Title IX, because you have a lot of governors from across the country saying, we're not following this, we're not complying with the rules that the Biden administration just came out with, which are ridiculous and basically tries to erase women sports. But from what I've seen, Mike Parson has been radio silent on this. If you were elected governor, how would you handle this?
Well, I know, and I feel like, Kim, we have a theme going on here that Mike Parson just doesn't do anything. I mean, and you have identified a second issue on the Title IX stuff we're seeing other bold conservative governors in other states come out and say, no, we're not going to do that. And you're darn right. If I were the governor of this state, we wouldn't be following those rules either. In fact, let me take this a step further. The reason this is even an issue is because all the states, including Missouri, are in the process of being addicted to taking too much money from the federal government, the Federal Department of Education, that are based on the mandates, like precisely this Title IX stuff. So not only am I not going to follow the rules and we're going to get away from the craziness of the Title IX mandates, we're going to stop taking all this federal money from the Federal Department of Education and actually get the sovereignty of Missouri back a little bit. So when I say that there is a reckoning coming from Jefferson City, this mindset that I'm talking about, where we're not going to be beholden to Joe Biden rules that make no sense whatsoever, where we're not going to let the federal government keep telling us what to do, whether they're coming after our kids, whether they're coming after girls' sports, whether they're coming after our guns, whatever it is, we're going to be bold about defending the people of this state. That's why people are responding to my message. We feel great. Let's go, Missouri.
All right. Hey, Missouri Senator Bill Igel, thanks so much for giving us some time this morning.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great morning.
You do the same. All right, still to come, we have those Stevie Nicks tickets to give away. I told you we were going to do it, and we are absolutely going to deliver on that. That's coming up at about 8:20. But after the break, we're talking about this BBC article. They're upset about the makeup, who these train drivers are. You're just going to have to hear the story to understand what I'm talking about. I'm Kim St. Ange, and for Mark. Mark will be back in about a week and a half. He's in Italy right now, enjoying some time, hopefully some delicious food. So Scott Jagow's been helping me hold down the fort.
We've been having a good time.
There's not a shortage of stuff to talk about, I'll tell you that. Every night, I'm like, oh my gosh, what's happened on these college campuses?
Yeah, and last night was the worst of all so far, UCLA.
And doesn't that make you think what's going to happen tonight?
Well, yeah, again, I think it goes back to whether or not there'll be a significant contingent of pro-Israel protesters along with the pro-Palestinian. That's what happened at UCLA, and it was like a three-hour skirmish where people were throwing barricades at each other and chairs.
I mean, it's fireworks.
It's out of control.
Tear gas, mace, all sorts of things. The pro-Palestinian protesters had like pieces of plywood that they set up in a line, umbrellas, trying to block these other protesters from getting to them. And like I mentioned, there were fireworks. It's out of control.
And I saw, I was looking at video from my alma mater, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty significant, the violence there, too. I saw a guy punch a police officer's megaphone. Not a good idea.
Yeah, I would suggest not doing that.
Yeah, but you know, just a lot of skirmishing going on, and it's senseless. That's the word.
Yeah, taking down the American flag, that happened on North Carolina's campus. It happened at Harvard earlier this week, I think, where they're putting up the Palestinian flag. Very happy to see the chancellor for the University of North Carolina went right back up and put the American flag back on the pole where it belonged.
And there were a lot of people cheering around
yes.
him. I mean, good on him for doing that.
Yeah, it's crazy. I told you about this story before the break about this crazy article that I found on the BBC. It says the average train driver is 46 years old, male and white, according to new data. And they're upset about that. They're saying it's not diverse enough and that they need to change the ways they recruit train drivers. It is saying the National Skills Academy for Rail shows that only one in 10 drivers are non-white, with even fewer being women. So they're really, really frustrated that middle-aged white men are the dominant drivers for these trains. And like I said, now they're saying, oh, we have to change things up. We want a wider range of people to apply for these jobs. And I have to tell you, it was pretty funny because they posted this on social media. And have you ever seen where there will be something underneath a post where it will be like readers added context that they thought people might want to know. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay. So that was what happened with this BBC article. And it said here, Britain is overwhelmingly white. Being a train driver takes many years of training and responsibility. So most drivers will be older. And driving professions are all dominated by men. And this is likely because part-time driving is blocked by the unions. I mean, yeah. And it's funny, too, because the woman who's all gung-ho on changing up the recruitment methods to get a wider range of people applying for these jobs, saying that having diversity freshens us up as an organization, it brings creativity.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's true, but maybe the people who are in other groups don't want to drive trains. Right,
thank you. That's my point. Why are we forcing it? Like, I think diversity is a good thing in a lot of ways, but the way that they've gone about it with forcing it on people and being like, we have to meet a quota. We have to have so many female drivers. We have to have X amount of black drivers and brown drivers. It's like, oh my gosh, why can't we just let anyone who wants to be a train driver, a train conductor, whatever the phrase is, let them do that? Like, not everyone wants to do that. And with all due respect with her whole creativity thing, I'm not saying those people aren't creative, but how much creativity can you have when you're driving a train? You drive it.
Yeah, as a representative of the middle-aged white group.
How do you feel about this? It's
I want to say that I can understand. I'm sort of a train geek. I love trains. I would love to drive one. I actually played a video game where I was driving a train. So I am a geek about it. I think that my ethnicity and age is, a lot of people want to drive trains. That's all I'm going to say.
I will tell you, as a woman, a millennial, I do not want to drive a train at all. If you ask me on a scale from 1 to 10 by interest level, I would say -500. I might be interested in driving the train one time, or like even driving the train around the St. Louis Zoo might scratch my itch. Like, that's it. I don't need to do that as a profession. And understandably, a lot of women probably don't want to do that. It's okay, BBC, in your ridiculous study that you wasted taxpayer dollars on. Taxpayer dollars fund the BBC, by the way, just in case anyone needed to know that. So they took the time to put up this bogus article, upset that too many white middle-aged men are driving trains. So how dare you, Scott Jago?
Were people complaining that there weren't?
I don't know. That's the thing. Yeah, like, I think they're complaining. And so they felt it was necessary to do some ridiculous article on it. Seriously, some of these studies, new study finds that sleep is good for you. Oh, okay, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you took the time to look into that. Wow, thank you for enlightening us. BBC, just spend some time doing something a little bit more productive. Let anybody who wants to drive a train, drive a train. Doesn't matter their sex or their whatever, who cares? Just, oh my gosh, leave it alone. Still to come, we have Stevie Nicks tickets to give away. That's at 8:20. And then we have Charles Payne coming up at 8:35. Stay with us.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.